stand with me once you get there. Acts 18. And Acts 18, we're going to read only two verses tonight and hopefully be able to discuss those and then have our business meeting. Acts 18, 22 and 23 of the verses we're going to read. 24 down through 28 deal with Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla dealing with him in a synagogue. And we kind of touched on that a little bit before, but we'll handle that next week. But we're in Acts 18, 22 and verse 23. Everybody there say amen. Any omis? All right. Let's read those two verses together then, verses 22 and 23. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Father, bless now these moments that we have. Lord, activities are going on next door with the children. Activities are going on with disciplers even right now. Lord, we pray that you might bless in our time as well as we learn a little bit more about Paul, what he's doing, how this whole missions trip is working out. And Lord, it's working for the glory of God. And as a result, we have the gospel here. Help us to pick up something that we can take with us tonight as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. All right. The last time we left off with Paul, we began talking about Paul's care and continuing on. Paul's care. What we find here tonight is Paul here, he had stopped at Jerusalem, remember, went back to Antioch and stayed there. And his trip to Jerusalem, we talked about that last time, seemed like it something went awry there. He didn't talk a whole lot about that trip. But now he came back to Antioch, which is his hometown. And when he gets to Antioch, he stayed there for some time. Notice what it says there in verse number 22. When he had landed at Caesarea, gone up and saluted the church, that's Jerusalem, he went down to Antioch. And that's where he was called from. And we saw that back in Acts chapter 13. But then notice what it says here in verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, where's there? Antioch. He departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Paul's care in continuing on. Paul now is about to go back over the area of Phrygia. Let me ask you a question. Why is this area of Phrygia important? What do we know about that area of Phrygia and the area of Galatia? Anybody remember? Memory banks? Go back to Acts chapter 16 with me. Acts chapter 16. Paul now is doing what a missionary should do. In Acts chapter 16, and come down to verse number 6 with me. And notice what it says here. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of where? Galatia. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So Paul had been to Phrygia and the region of Galatia before. So what Paul is doing now is going back to see the brethren that had gotten saved. If you go back up a little bit further, go to chapter 15 and go to verse number 35. And as we study this, notice what happens in verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in where? Antioch. That was at the conclusion of their first missionary journey, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. But then notice verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So that embarked upon their second missionary journey. And remember, at that time, Paul did not want to take Jean-Marc. And so they split up. Now, why did he want to take Jean-Marc? Because Jean-Marc had quit and gone back. And so there was some great contention between the two. There's some heated arguments there. And notice what it says in verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And that's when Paul picked up Silas and he went on to the missions field in his second journey. Chapter 16, you find he picks up Timothy in verse number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Notice down in verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So now he's got no longer Barnabas, but now he's got Silas. But now he's also got Timothy. Timothy's going to go on the road with him. And so they are going now on this second missionary journey. Of course, we know down in verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So obviously some people got saved in that area. Go back to chapter 18 with me. So Paul here is getting the same mindset that he had back in Acts chapter number 15 when he said, you know what, let's go see how the brethren do. By the way, it's good when people get saved to find out how they're doing. Would you agree? Amen. Amen. Why is it good to find out how they're doing? What does the Bible call them, Serge? Amen. And that's what this is all about. What does the Bible refer to a very brand new Christian as newborn what?
Babes.
How many of y'all would get your baby out of the hospital and just leave him? Sam is the latest one. Sam, why didn't you just leave Joy in the hospital? Let her fend for herself. Let her get her own milk. Let her, you know, change her own diapers and, you know, let her do her own stuff. Why didn't you do that, brother? She can't do it. So when somebody first gets saved, guess what? If they're a babe in Christ, like a real baby, guess what? They can't do it. They don't know how to do it. They may think they know how to do it, but they don't know how to do it. Paul here finds this group of Christians here. He says, you know what? Says after he spent some time there, he departed, went over all the country of Galatia. I'm sure back in Antioch, Paul is thinking about all the Christians that he had seen saved on the road as he went along there. And the same way he got fired up about going back, he gets fired up again. He says, you know what? Let's go back again. So he's going to go back again and see how they're doing. And so now this is going to be starting on his third missionary journey, if you would. Notice what it says down there. It says, and after he had spent some time there, he departed, went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order. What did he do? Strengthening all the disciples. How many disciples? All of them, not just some of them. So Paul's care in continuing. These two places, Phrygia and also Galatia, are places where people had gotten saved there, and he's going to strengthen all the disciples. Now, Paul, on his first missionary journey, pretty much did the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist known for doing? Stirring people up. I've written down here, an evangelist is known to stir people to a decision of safety. What's that? To stir people up to a decision of safety. Why? They're not saved. They're in danger. There's a real devil who wants to bamboozle people's minds and pull the wool over their eyes and make them think that they're saved and make them think that they're okay, and they're not okay. And when they die, the devil is the one that laughs when they go to hell. By the way, the devil himself would never go to hell. The Bible never tells the devil that he's in hell. Where is he going? He's going to bypass and go straight to the lake of fire. So people say, why don't you go back to hell where you belong? He don't belong there. He never been there. He's going to the lake of fire. Amen. So Paul here has done the work of an evangelist. He stirred people to a decision of safety. And now he's going back to do the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to steer people to a direction of maturity. So one is going to stir people to a decision of safety. Hey, look, I've got to get saved. I've got to get right with God. I've got to flee from the wrath to come. And so the evangelist comes in and says, get right with God. Hell is hot. Jesus is coming soon. And people say, oh, a decision, safety. I've got to get right with God. They get right with God. Now, guess what? Do they need to be stirred up to a decision of safety again? No, not in that respect. Now, there are other respects, amen, but not that respect. So now the pastor's job is to come along after they get saved and to steer them in a position of direction of maturity. The same way Sam has got Joy at home. His job now is saying, hey, let me get you to grow up here. Let me give you some milk. Let me give you some things to help you to grow. And so Paul had been the evangelist to stir. Now he's being the pastor to steer. And it's important to you and I to disciple and win people as well. Why? Matthew 28:20 still says what? Teaching them to do what? Observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. So Jesus said, go back and teach them once they get saved what I'm teaching you. Make sure they get baptized. Let's notice the word strengthening all the disciples here. A disciple here, the meaning here is a learner or a pupil. Now, if I'm a learner or I'm a pupil, what do I need? A teacher. If the word disciple means, because he says strengthening all the disciples, they're learners or they're pupils, then they need a teacher. And so Paul here is retracing his footsteps where he saw people saved to strengthen all of them that he possibly could. He says strengthening all the disciples. We do the same thing for babies. And so, and by the way, the word strengthen here means to confirm, reestablish, or support further. So as Paul here has some disciples, some learners, some pupils, his job is to strengthen them or to confirm or reestablish or support them further. By the way, how many of y'all have ever had a professional weight trainer? One of these fitness guys that tell you what to do, how to get strong. Rose? Okay. Brother Joe? Amen. What do they tell you how to get strong? What are some things they tell you how you can get stronger, you can get strengthened? Things not these. So diet is important. How to exercise, how to lift weights. Can you do that stuff by yourself? So you have muscle down here instead of having one up here. So to give you some techniques. Rose, what is your professional weight trainer? So to give you some technicalities. Normally, if it's going to be a strength coach or he's going to give you some strengthening techniques, he's going to talk to you about diet. He's going to talk to you about exercise. He's going to talk to you about schedules. He's going to talk to you about routines. And there's one thing that they're going to definitely talk to you about. Begins with an R. Well, rest is important too. Repetition. What they said, you need to do some reps. Repetition. And those are some things. Paul here is strengthening all the disciples. They're learners, they're pupils, and he's going to try to get them strengthened. Now, by the way, what do you think Paul did to strengthen them? Says he strengthened the disciples. What do you think Paul did? If he's going back through here, Phrygia, he's going back here to Galatia, what did Paul do to strengthen them? If he's going to confirm them or reestablish them, or if he's going to, as the word means, get them to support them, what is he going to do to them? Encourage them? Okay. What else is he going to do to them? Yes, Sam? Repeat the message. That's exactly what I have down here. He's going to retell what he had already told them. Why does he need to retell them what he already retold them? Reinforce it. What is one of the first things that happens when a person gets saved? Doubt. How can you have something called faith? It's elusive. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. You can't see it, but yet still it exists. So how can you explain this thing that I'm saved by grace and by faith? And the devil will say, you don't have what you think you have. It left you. It left you. And you think, well, I'm still saved. He'll say, prove it. Well, I called on the name of the Lord. Yeah, you sinned 2 minutes ago. That's what makes you think you're still saved. But because Jesus died for me. Now, don't bring Jesus into this. And the devil will talk you out of Jesus. He said, don't bring Jesus into you sin. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this. You know what I'm talking about? The devil will talk you right out of your good salvation and get you on ground that is shaky at best. And you need to leave Jesus in the equation. Leave Jesus in the equation at all times. The minute you devoid Jesus from that equation and you give in to the devil, he's going to get you a hook, line, and sinker. Let me ask you this question. What did you need most as a baby Christian? Give me some input. What did you need most as a baby Christian? And I'll tell you what I needed. What did y'all need most as a baby Christian? Give me some input. What did you need most when you first got saved? What did you need most? Serge? Understanding of the word. Amen. Give me some other. When you first got saved, what did you need? Raul? Fellowship. Need some fellowship. Amen. Something else. What did you need when you first got saved? These are good. Guidance. Amen. Joe? Amen. So good examples. Amen. What else? What did you need when you first got saved? Stephanie? Someone to teach you. Amen. Something else. What did you need when you first got saved? This is your own personal thing. What did you need? And by the way, every baby is different. Joy is not like Joel, who is not like Josiah, who is not like Jeremiah, who is not like Juliana. Julianne. Every baby's needs are different. G2's needs are different from Joshua's, who is different from Faith. Every baby's need is going to be different. Paul's job now is to go through and strengthen or to give them what they need. By the way, yes, sir? They definitely need milk. Now, every baby is different, and they all have different needs. Baby Christians are the same. I don't know about you, but I needed Romans 10:13. I needed 1 John 1:9, and I needed 1 John 5:11 through 13. Say, preacher, why? Because when the devil came to tempt me and I thought I had lost my salvation, I needed to know whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. When I fell into temptation, I needed 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I needed that on a daily basis. Why? I had a foul mouth. I was drinking. I was cursing. I was lying. And every time I did that stuff, guess what? I flipped back there and found 1 John 1:9. It's still there in the book. It's still there. I need that. And I needed 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I had to take the devil back. And I say, look, devil, you can say what you want to say. But I know on February 3rd, 1991, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. I've got life, devil, so leave me alone. And I had to fall back on that time and time again. I needed to fall back on that. What is that? As Sir said, it's the Word. What was I? I was a baby. What was I saved by? Faith. Could I see it? No. But you know what I could see? I could see written in the pages of my Bible that he that hath the Son hath life. And by faith, I know I called on that Son to save me. And by faith, I knew I was going to a devil's hell. And by faith, I said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And by faith, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed his death, his burial, and his resurrection was sufficient for me. And I have the Son, and I have life. And I needed that like I needed my milk every day. I had it written down on a 3x5 card. I had it stuck in my back pocket. When I walked down the street and I look at a billboard over there in Belgium of some nudity and I start getting those thoughts in my mind, I'd pull that thing out. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just. I'd confess that thing, put that right back in there. Amen. I go down here a little bit further and I maybe tell a lie. I think, man, I must not be saved. I'm telling these lies again. I'd pull it back out and say, hey, he that hath the Son hath life. I'm still saved. Amen. Go back down there and say, folks, you want to get some liquor? Drink this liquor. Then I feel bad. I say, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. He's still working on me. I'm still saved. What did I need? I needed to be strengthened by his word. Paul here going back, and these young Christians here are facing the same temptations that you face when you're a baby Christian. Same thing. And so he's going back here to reestablish them. And I needed those verses. Now, I don't know what you needed, but we all need someone to guide us in the word of God and to help it make sense to us. Hence, people are next door getting discipled right now. By the way, the word confirm means to make it sure. And so if he's confirming, what do you think he's telling them? If he's confirming, because the word strengthen means to confirm, to reestablish. If he's confirming them, what do you think he's saying? Confirming their salvation. Yes, what you did is correct. It's according to the word of God. Hey, the Old Testament was just a picture. If you did what I told you to do according to the word of God, you're saved. Confirming them. Yes, you're right doctrinally. Reestablishing them. It's true what I stated about once saved, always saved. I'm sure he gave them many, many verses about being saved. Amen. Why? They need to be reestablished. That's what strengthen means. I've got to reestablish this thing. Hey, put it back down there. Hey, once saved, you're always saved. You're not saved today and lost tomorrow and get it back the next day. As some people think that baptism saves. If baptism saves, then what do? I got to keep getting in and out of baptistry. You know, think about that logic. If baptism saves, then that means I might as well just take that portable baptistry we got next door and just roll it down alongside me when I go to work. As soon as I sin, jump in it and get baptized again, jump out of it, and pull it back down here, or pull it behind my car down the street when I honk at somebody and get mad. Hey, you blankety blank, 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 stop my car. I'm going to jump in that baptistry and get in there and get back out. If baptism saves. If it forgives sins, you know, you laugh and you think that's foolish, but that's what some people think. Hey, either it's the blood of Jesus Christ or it's not. Paul here had to go back here. Galatia especially. You read the book of Galatians. They thought that once they got saved, now they had to keep the law. And Paul had to write back to them and say, look, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you trying to keep the law down? He had to write to them about that. And so when you look at this, he was confirming them, saying, yes, you're right doctrinally. This is the right thing, reestablishing them. Yes, it's true what I stated about once saved, always saved. What I told you was right. Support further. He had to expound upon Old Testament prophecies of Christ and the church. By the way, they only had what scriptures at this time? They only had the Old Testament. And you don't see much of the church in the Old Testament. But guess what? It's still there. It's still there. It's there. Although you can't really see it, and although they couldn't see it, guess what? It was there. Hey, think about it. The death of Christ was there. The resurrection with Christ was there. And there was a gap. What do you think that gap was in that period of Christ's death, his burial, and his return? The church. The church. So it was there. They only had the Old Testament scriptures and Paul's epistles or letters that were written. I'll turn back to or turn forward to Colossians real quick with me. Colossians chapter number 4. So Paul here is strengthening the Christians in Galatia and Phrygia in order. Colossians chapter 4, and notice what you find here in verse number 12. Paul here is concluding this letter, this epistle. And notice what he says in verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. Notice verse 16. And when this epistle is read among you, what epistle is that? The epistle to the church at Colossae. Notice what Paul says. When this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the who? Laodiceans. And notice what he says. And that ye likewise read the epistle from who? Laodicea. So what they had, biblically speaking, other than the Old Testament, was the letters that Paul wrote to them. He wrote one evidently to Laodicea. He said, you read Laodicea's, and Laodicea, you read Colossae's. Now, in this book, he's talking about how Christ is preeminent in here. He's better than all the other philosophies and mysticism that they could get their hands on. And so he had to write that to them. And by the way, the church at Laodicea had problems as well. What was their problem according to the book of Revelation? Lukewarm. And so he said, I wrote one to Laodicea. And I wrote one to you. Y'all need to switch up and y'all read each other's. Why? They didn't have any other doctrinal teaching other than the Old Testament. And most of these guys were not Jews. Most of these guys were Gentiles for the most part. Let me show you something here real quick. Go back into the book of Romans. Show you how important the book of Acts is. Because every place that Paul went, he wrote a letter back to them just about. Romans chapter number 1. And notice what it says here in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice down here in verse 7. To all that be in where? Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace. Now he's about to write to these saints that he saw saved or he has a part in their life. We want to get them further indoctrinated in the word of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, same thing here. And we just met Paul at Corinth not too long ago. And notice chapter 1 of Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is where? At Corinth. What happened? They got saved, and Paul said, I want to strengthen you. I want to send you back a letter. I want to tell you what you need to do and how you need to do it. Why? They were doing things wrong. 2 Corinthians, same way. What is Paul doing again? He's strengthening the brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Notice what he says here in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at where? Corinth. Every one of these epistles you find the same way. Go over to the next one, which is Galatians. Notice Galatians chapter 1. And of course, that Paul is going to Phrygia and where? Galatia. Galatians chapter number 1. Notice what he says down here in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of where? Galatia. So it's not even just one church. What did he say? Churches. So Paul had groups of believers all around, and he went and sent back these letters, and he said, look, this is what you need to do. And chapters 1, 2, and 3 talk about how you get saved, and you don't have to keep a law anymore. You go down there to the next book, Ephesians. Same thing. Notice Ephesians chapter number 1. And Paul, an apostle, verse 1, of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are where? At Ephesus. You go to the next book, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at where? Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Remember, that's one of the first places in Macedonia that he came to. He said, come over here and help us. And so he's writing back to them saying, hey, look, this is what's going on. And he gives them some instructions in the Word of God. Colossians, we just looked at that one. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the who? Thessalonians. So each one of Paul's epistles, he's writing back to a group of believers that he had left behind to instruct them further. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father. All these were churches that he started. You say, what about Timothy? Well, I'm glad you asked it. Notice 1 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope unto who? Timothy, mine own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what happens in verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at where? Ephesus. Where did Paul just leave? Ephesus. When I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. So Paul is writing back to Timothy and said, look, I told you to stay in Ephesus, and this is what I want you to do. What am I saying here? Paul had to send these epistles out because they didn't have anything other than the Old Testament, and he needed something to detail the grace of God and the mercy of God and the salvation in Jesus Christ. They needed that. And so Paul wrote back all these epistles over all the churches that he had been to get them strengthened in the things of God. And by the way, how can we help our converts here, just like we're doing? Disciple them. Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things. How else can we help them here? Fellowship with them. I think Raul said fellowship with them. Notice what it says in Acts 2:46. Go back there real quick. Acts 2:46. By the way, if you have been saved any length of time, you should be a discipler. Preacher, I don't know what to tell them. Tell them what's in the book. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 46. Notice it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So fellowship is needed. Fellowship with them. Spend some time with them. Here's another one. Minister alongside them. Ephesians 2:10 says, ye are his workmanship created unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Minister alongside them. Get them involved in what you do. I see the ushers getting other ushers involved all the time. Getting the young boys involved in ushers. I see ladies recruiting other ladies in the nursery. Mrs. Dawson's recruiting people to work in Patch right now. Amen. And getting people to work alongside them. Why? Because we need to not just disciple them and fellowship with them, but then minister alongside them. Why? We have been called to minister. Amen. And not just to disciple them and fellowship with them, minister alongside them. Someone said this one, show an example to them. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let's look at that one. Who said example? Somebody said that one. Somebody said be an example. Who's that? Joe. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let's look at that one. And 1 Timothy 4:12. And notice what he says there. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy. Who's got 1 Timothy? Go ahead, read that, Pastor White. I was in 2 Timothy, though. Go ahead, read 4:12. Yes. Amen. being an example of the believers in word, what I say in conversation, how I live in charity, how I love in spirit, my mental disposition, my enthusiasm in faith, how I believe in purity, my cleanliness, just the thought process is pure. My motives are pure. He said, be an example of those things. By the way, let me give you this. Why is it important to be an example to them? I look to Rod Branch and Bert Dunn when I came to Calvary Baptist Church. Why? Rod Branch was the one that took all the time with me to witness to me. Bert Dunn was the one that actually led me to the Lord. And I looked to those two men for an example. I didn't look at anybody else. Of course, I had the pastor up there. But those two men invested in me. And so I said, if they invested in me, surely they will show me what a Christian ought to do. And I watched them. I watched them. Now, I'm not going to say they always lived up to what they should have, but guess what? I watched them. I'm saddened to say right now to this day, Rod Branch is divorced from his wife and out of the ministry. Bert Dunn is still serving God at Bailey's Crossroads Baptist Church with Dr. Baldwin. Still serving. My wife had gotten led to the Lord by a lady named Kathy Wade. After that, got divorced from her husband and got away from God. And Carmen began doubting her salvation. Why? The example. If she could do this, was she even saved? And if she's not saved, how can she lead me to Christ if she's not saved? And so she began doubting her salvation because the person that was her example was flaky. But guess what? She had the word of God to fall back on. I did it by the book. What am I saying? Paul went to strengthen these disciples. And he said he went to all these areas of Phrygia and Galatia, strengthening all the disciples. And what do we need to do? We need to disciple them, teach them the word, teach them by word and our ways, fellowship with them, spend a little bit of time with them, minister alongside them, get them involved in what we're doing. Show them an example. Be thou an example of the believer. Why? They need an example. Do you know Joy is going to learn how to talk and walk because she's going to watch what Sam, Jenny, and the rest of the Wilkersons do? She's going to learn how to eat and all the other things because she's watching them. You blindfold that baby and you plug their ears up and not let them see a thing, they will not grow. You get a baby and put a baby out in the jungle and watch a bunch of baboons and monkeys, and that's how they're going to act. They won't be able to talk. Why? They need interaction. They need examples. That's how we learn. When people get saved, Paul said, I got to strengthen them. Go back to Acts and we'll close with this one. Acts chapter 18. So Paul had this great burden because he knew the work was great. And he wanted these disciples not to be left as baby Christians. Acts chapter 18 says, and after he spent some time there, which is Antioch, he departed, went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And that was Paul's heartbeat. So Paul's care in continuing on, he said, look, I'm going to continue on, but you know what? I'm going to make sure that these guys have what they need. And so hence, we have the New Testament full of Paul's letters that he wrote back to the churches that he established. And this is where we get most of our doctrine from, the Old and the New Testament. They didn't have the Old Testament. They just had basically the New. And that's what we do. Strengthen them by the word. Let's be examples. Let's disciple. Let's get people involved. Let's minister alongside them. Show them what real Christianity is all about. There's enough fake tire trick Christianity going on out there. They don't want to see that. Enough fakeness going on. Let's be real about what we're doing. Father, thank you for the time that we've had to spend over the next moments, Lord. Help now, Lord, in our business meeting as we talk about the things of our budget and the closing year. Lord, may it be a blessing and an encouragement to us. Thank you for Paul's example. Lord, may we do our dead level best to be involved in the lives of young baby Christians to get them where they need to be. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.